Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Lycan. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go, 6:06 on the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Another Thursday night, another 2 hours of all things Bengals, the NFL, college football, and more. I'm Lance McAllister. He is Rocky Boyman, the veteran of 8 years in the NFL and the owner of a Super Bowl ring. We'll do it between 6 and 8 o'clock tonight. Then we'll hand things off to Chick Ludwig, who's got sports talk from 8 to 9. Let's get to the headlines. Then we'll rock and roll. News Radio 700 WLW Bengals update. Bengals back at it today in preparation for Monday night showdown versus the Steelers at Paul Brown Stadium. Kickoff 8:30 Monday night. Practice today did not include Vinny Ray with a hamstring, Sean Williams with a hamstring, and Nick Vigil still dealing with that ankle. Cedric Aboy, he was also limited with a shoulder issue, as was Tyler Croft with a wrist issue. By the way, the Browns safety Jabril Peppers today fined $24,000. Rocky, I think we'll speak on that later.
Yes.
For his hit on a defenseless Josh Malone. Jabril Peppers saying he will appeal. NFL Thursday Night Football, it's the Redskins and the Big D to take on the Cowboys. Catch the game on Fox Sports 1360. High school football, good luck to Winton Woods as they play host to Akron Hoban tonight for the Division II state championship in Canton. Kickoff is 7:30. Both teams are 13-1. And good luck to three other area teams going for state titles over the next couple of days. Friday afternoon, Beachwood versus Raceland at 2 o'clock in Lexington. Saturday, Clinton Massey versus Steubenville at 3 o'clock in Canton. And then Cubcath versus Madison Southern, 8 o'clock in Lexington. Golf note today, Tiger Woods, playing for the first time competitively in 301 days, fires an opening round 3-under-69 in the first round of the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. News Radio 700 WLW Reds update. It's Reds Fest weekend at the Duke Energy Convention Center Friday and Saturday. I've got Sports Talk live from there tomorrow night, 6 to 9 o'clock. A cavalcade of guests, players, front office people, current and former players and minor leaguers, each segment of the show between 6 and 9 tomorrow night. Tim Adelman will not be a part of Reds Fest because he has been signed by the Samsung Lions of the Korean Baseball League. They acquire him for $1 million for the 2018 season. How bad must Korean baseball be if you're giving Tim? Well, that's a shot. But
that's
a huge shot. They're giving Tim Adelman, they're giving him $1 million.
If you're at the end of your career, like, and somebody offered you $1 million to go do radio, talk sports radio in Korea,
oh, there's no question. I would absolutely. I'm just wondering, are the Samsung Lions so desperate for pitching they give Tim Adelman $1 million? He did lead the Reds in innings last year, Rock, at 22 and a third innings, which is another statement about the Reds pitching last year, at least for the early stages when Tim Adelman leads your staff in innings. At 122.1. You've got me all sidetracked. The Reds also announcing a post-game concert with country music star Jake Owen coming up on Saturday, August 11th. That will follow the Arizona Diamondbacks game. For everything else you've missed, I do this. Go to my blog, 700WLW.com. The blog is service of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk, if you're moving, maybe you're remodeling, tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. On the blog right now, my conversation with Sal Romano last night on Sports Talk. Scooter Jeanette checked in. You can listen back to that interview. And Devere Posey, the pride of LaSalle High School. Lancers roll deep. He's the MVP of the Canadian, thank you very much, the Canadian Football League Grey Cup. All those interviews on the blog, 700WLW.com. Up next, the Bengals got the running game going against the Cleveland Browns. We've been waiting for that, so we'll be excited to talk about it. We'll look ahead to the Steelers game as well. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. We're at 610 on the nose. Let's check traffic and weather together on News Radio 700 WLW.
From the UCL Traffic Center, UC Health, ranked by U.S. News & World Report as a leading provider of ENT services. West 74 near Rybold, direct slow from there to 275. Accident of Beachmont near Asbury. Bridgetown at Zion with a broken down. Still cleaned up Glendale Milford at Redding and on 27 near New London Road. 75 south at Lockland and approaching the bridge slow. Mitchell to Paddock northbound. Southbound 71 Fields Hurdle to Kenwood and then approaching the tunnel and northbound Dana to Reagan. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on News Radio 700 WLW.
We'll see partly cloudy skies tonight. Your low down to 32. Sunshine for your Friday. We'll see a high of 51 and then mostly sunny skies throughout the weekend. We'll see a high on Saturday of 52. High on Sunday, 55. That's the forecast from your severe weather station, News Radio 700 WLW.
6:11 on News Radio 700 WLW. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Live entertainment in the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Friday and Saturday night. Tomorrow night features the Acoustic Blue Band at 8 o'clock and the Kevin McCoy Band on Saturday at 9 o'clock. By the way, if you're in the house tonight, we have a registration box to play, compete for cool prizes, the Yingling Plinko board. You got to drop your name in the registration box and compete for those prizes throughout the evening. Got to be here to win. Before we go any further, Rocky, I think the most significant thing of the day was, and I think it's very cool, I met a young woman a little bit earlier in the show. She said, do you know when Rocky Boyman's going to be here? And I said, yeah, well, I hope he's here by 6. And I said, he's probably going to be here at 5:30, 5:45 or so. And she said, I'm a Colts fan. I'll let you tell the story of where she came from, but she brought stuff for you to sign. It was very cool watching you sign that stuff.
Mary, all the way from Martinsville, Indiana, right? Friend Mary Beth, right?
That is awesome.
How about that? Drove all the way here. And unbelievable collection she has. She has, like, one of the banners from the Super Bowl. And she said, you got to sign this side because this is the side that defense and special teams sign. And I guess another side, see there she's looking
at.
Oh,
that is sweet.
I got the webcam out here to you can
check
that out.
That is very cool.
She had a Colts yearbook where I had a picture making an interception. I signed that.
Wow, you had an interception in your career?
I had 5 interceptions in my career, Lance. Check the stats.
That is an awesome picture of you going against a to-be-determined New York Jet. I didn't know who it was. I was thinking Wayne Krabet, but did you play against Wayne Krabet? It's the only Jet receiver that comes to mind.
Yeah, it was a tight end. I don't know which one. But, yeah, anyway, how about that? Drove all the way down here. Come check us out. Come check out the show.
That is very nice.
Very cool. Thank you.
Very nice. Now, did you sign the front of that poster or the back? Because I would have stuck you on the back.
No, I told you she was very specific. She said, this is the side that the defense and the special teams
got
to sign.
I got
you. So I signed right next to my man Gary Brackett, my man Adam Vinatieri.
All right, very nice. Yeah. That was awesome. All right, let's go back to this past Sunday, and it was a thing of beauty, Rock. We talked for so many weeks.
Oh, wow.
Running game. They're never going to get the running game going. How can you reduce Joe Mixon to a guy who averages like 2.8 yards per carry? Joe got going. The offensive line got going, and it's amazing how different an offense can look if you get a running game.
Yeah, it is. And we've talked about it for so long, you know, till we're blue in the face. The only thing this offense has really done well consistently is a short passing game. And they needed something else to kind of emerge. And we saw the deep passing game come alive a little bit the previous week. And then now you got the third element, right? The third element. And as you think about a baseball pitcher, right? A pitcher can't go out there, no matter how good their fastball is, you can't get up on the mound and just start throwing gas the whole time. You got to have a changeup pitch. And if you're really good, you got to have a third pitch. So right now, this Bengals offense has 3 pitches to it working, at least right now. That's before Steelers week. So that's number one. And secondly, just from experience, I've just known that this when you can run the ball this time of the year, when guys are beat up, people got shoulder injuries and they're kind of hurt, the last thing you want to do is tackle a running team. You'd rather play a team that just throws the ball all over the park. So for 2 different reasons, this is good we're seeing this.
You know, it's funny. Great minds think alike. At the top of my notes here, I wrote, get off FB. That's the fastball. I was going to use that analogy.
Really?
But you just said, get him off the fastball, and this was the version of – and look, we saw separation. Andy created opportunities for Andy, had separation in time to throw downfield because there has to be that respect. I mean, you know what it's like as a defender. If the other team can't run the ball, you can almost erase that from your mind and just go get the quarterback.
Oh, you do. Yeah, I mean, it totally just – it makes you really dig in and you know, again, defenses take away – the one thing you do well, right? And unless you got something else to bring to the table, it's going to be a long, long day.
Here's the other thing that stood out to me. and I'd be curious in your thought. This is a layup to you. I think it's an easy ask, but when you're a defender who not only has an offensive line that is blocking, but the running backs are engaged in wanting to stick their nose in it, whether it's the fullback Ryan Hewitt or Giovanni Bernard picking up the blitz, and Tyler Croft is blocking off the edge, and the wide receivers are blocking down the field. You as a defender, you're like, give me a break. Don't make me work this hard, I would think.
No, 100%. Especially when you're seeing those. You can tell a team that hasn't given up. Watch how the wide receivers block. Watch how the perimeter is blocked. And if they're playing hard, they're blocking hard, and they want to stick their nose in there, you're okay. This team hasn't given up yet. And you saw that this week, to your point, with the tight ends, the fullbacks, the receivers are all getting in on the action, so that's good.
Ryan Hewitt played 14 snaps. It's the most tied a season high in snaps. He played 14 the week before. To me, and we've often talked about Ryan Hewitt's role and why they gave him a big chunk of money, a big chunk for a fullback, and they didn't seem to know what to do with him last year. I would submit the more Ryan Hewitt plays, the more physical you are. I love the guy from this standpoint. He knows exactly who he is as a football player and what he likes to do. And, Rock, what he likes to do is seek out contact. If he's on the field, he wants to hit somebody.
100%.
And I think it sets the tone for the rest of that offense when he does what he does.
And especially if you think about where football is these days. I mean, especially in college and even in more so in the pros as the years go by, you don't see a fullback that much.
Yep.
You don't see that H-back guy that's getting up in the hole. So, you know, it's kind of something you're not used to. You know what I mean? So just having to face him, and he's always been very good at finding the right guy to block, blocking the first danger, the first most dangerous, that sort of thing. So, yeah, man, you know, it's just, you know, it was obviously very good, but then it's frustrating. It's like, God, why couldn't this have happened,
yes,
you know, in September?
Yes.
Now, let's be clear. This run game isn't just dominating right now.
Right.
You know, this has still got to happen, and you've got to do it again this week.
One thing to do it once.
Week.
Let's see you double it up and
let's
do it twice.
Let's do it again. And yeah, I think the other thing, too, Lance, just to say this, you know, you see a lot. I see a lot of running backs in college and even in rookies. They all want the big run, right? You want the 50 – And you know, Saquon Barkley, that's his problem this year. He wants to turn every run into a Sports Center highlight instead of taking the 3-yarder when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joe Mixon finally, I think through the tutelage of Kyle Kasky, finally was saying, look, we'll take 3 yards here and 4 yards there, knowing that in the fourth quarter, those will start turning into those long runs.
Absolutely. And I'm also struck by it, and I give Joe Mixon credit for this. He's a young guy, and sometimes it takes a while for young guys to get it at a number of different levels. But, and I'll ask you the significance of this. A couple of weeks ago, we talked with Eric Winston on Bengals line, and he said he was impressed by Joe Mixon because he came to the offensive line in their meetings, and then on Friday and said, basically, what do you need from me? What can I do to help you guys in offensive line? And what do you get? What do you want? What do you need? What can I do better? Eric Winston was impressed as a veteran, and I would think you as a former player to have a rookie recognize that and engage in that conversation, that's got to carry a lot of weight.
No, that's amazing for no other reason than you know that his GSF factor, his GSF is up. You know what GSF stands for?
Yes.
Give up. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't, okay, and there's not a lot of going on of, hey, I like it this way, the offensive line leaves that conversation going, I want to block for that guy.
Yep.
That guy cares.
He didn't throw us under the bus.
Yeah,
he never publicly
said,
I rushed for 1,500 yards at Oklahoma. What, they reduced me to 2.5 yards a carry.
Right.
He didn't do that.
Never did that. And you know, again, the lineman walk away and said, we're going to block a little bit harder. We're going to block an extra second or two longer for that guy because he cares. He's not trying to say, you guys got to do this, this, and this. So, no, what can we all do better? So I thought that was cool.
Let's take a quick look at a couple of things we take care of each show. We'll preview tonight's game brought to you by Carry Toyota. Best in town, carrytoyota.com. It's Washington 5-6 at Dallas 5-6. It is meeting number 116 in the storied history between the two franchises. Cowboys have dropped 3 straight. Since Ezekiel Elliott has been out, they have scored 7. In the last 3 games, they've scored 7, 9, and 6.
Wow.
My butler math tells me that's 22 points in the last 3 games. It's the first time in Cowboys franchise history they've scored less than 10 points for 3 consecutive games. The Redskins are a favorite tonight on the road. All right, a lot more ground to get to. We'll discuss the potato with marshmallows on top that Rock has for dinner and so much more. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance. But I did not say that in a way to mock you. I it was a tease of intrigue. Like, ooh, what's Rocky eating with marshmallows on
it
tonight?
Yeah, however you want to explain it.
We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show on News Radio 700 WLW. 625, News Radio 700, WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Hey, Saturday is the Winter Wonderland gift card giveaway on the gaming floor from noon to 6 p.m. Guests who earn 100 tier points of their My Choice card that day will receive their choice of a $15 Kroger or Walmart gift card while supplies last. Rock, you ever, young Bo has tried this game. Remember the game where you put the coins in and there's a claw move it and it drops down and grabs?
Yeah.
That's what I was reminded of as you were eating that burger
just
seconds ago.
Eat.
You grabbed it like you lowered the claw down on top of your burger and then slowly picked it up and then turned it sideways to
it was like falling apart.
Yeah,
I'm doing the best I can here.
Put another quarter in the machine, move it over, drop it on the burger, pick it up. What'd you get? You dare to be different tonight. You got a little sweet potato
with some marshmallows
nice.
And brown sugar on it. It's really good. I'm not giving you any either.
Very good. Time to select last week's Reliable Player of the Game, brought to you by Reliable Products, Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance, and Pace Financing, efficient financing for building efficiency. We'll name Tyler Croft. He's become Mr. Reliable. He had four targets on Sunday. Three of those were catches, including a touchdown. For the season, Tyler Croft now has 31 catches, five touchdowns. He's had a touchdown in back-to-back weeks, and Rock, the play that stands out to me, and it was just, for my money, a thing of beauty as it unfolded. Tyler Croft was the recipient of the touchdown, but the ground game, the attention that the Browns had to give to the ground game played a large role in allowing that to open up, because the linebackers, you just saw them kind of like a vacuum sucked up to the line of scrimmage because of the threat.
Well, you're right. And I feel like that's, a lot of people think that's just like an analyst-y thing, kind of say, oh, well, if they run the ball, the play action works. No, I'm telling you, it does. It's a real thing, because it's just feeling that run game. And when someone's punching you in the face, you're going to come forward on that, right? You're going to kind of protect yourself. You're going to try to hit them before they hit you. Linebackers come up, bam, there goes a play action. Nice play.
They got caught looking in the backfield, Rock.
That's right. Got caught looking in the backfield. That's right.
That's another analyst
term. There you go.
I'm going to join you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work the opposite sideline of you. I'm going to stand across. I may make fun of you.
That won't be a very hard job. That's for sure. You got a pretty good head start on it.
All right, we have much more to get to after the bottom of the hour. We'll get into a little bit on the Steelers. But the reality is, Rock, and we were exchanging notes today, there's a lot of NFL and college stuff. No disrespect to the Bengals, but there's a lot of juicy stuff in addition to the Bengals we can get into.
We may
tonight.
Need
we'll
another hour tonight, but we got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. All right, and after news, I've also got a $25 gift card I got to give away. We'll do a little Frisch's Who Am I for a call-in version of that as well. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW. 6:36 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We've been doing this every day this week. We'll do one on air tonight. I have a Frisch's Who Am I contest for a $25 gift card. For a limited time, Frisch's has five, count them, five classic combos, $5 each. That's the Buddy Boy, Swiss Miss, Brawny Lad, the Quarter Pound Cheeseburger, and the Spicy Chicken Sandwich. All five Frisch's classic combos include a side of hot, crispy French fries and a 20-ounce drink of your choice, only at Frisch's. And we'll do the following. We'll make this a call-in version. I'm going to give you one clue as to who we're looking for, and the first caller with the correct answer at 749-3700 will get a $25 gift card. It is Bengals-related. I'm the last Bengal to return a kickoff for a touchdown, and I did it versus the Steelers. I'm the last Bengal to return a kickoff for touchdown, and I did it against the Steelers. I'll give you a hint. I'm a sixth-round pick out of Abilene Christian. If you know who that is and can answer who I am, be the first caller to Big Dave at 749-3700. You get a $25 gift card from Frisch's. 6:37 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. We'll roll till 8 tonight, and then Chick Ludwig in. He'll take you 8 to 9. By the way, the Mick Cronin Show, usually on Thursday nights, was last night. That's in podcast form if you missed it. And then Chick will be live and in the studio tonight from 8 to 9 o'clock. Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? And Yingling Lager. Respect. It's earned. We thank Yingling for their support. and they provide the Plinko board for the cool prizes we play for every week here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Rock, the first meeting between these two teams, I thought there was something very significant that happened in that game that we talked about, and I think we can apply it to this meeting. The first time they met, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, I'm blanking on all the B's for the Steelers, the 2B, Bell and Brown, they had 48 touches between them, between targets and rushes. The Steelers put the ball in their hands or threw it in their direction 48 times, yet the Bengals targeted A.J. Green and Joe Mixon just 16 times. It's a very simple equation, it would seem. Get the ball into the hands of your best players and let them do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we talked about this and how much it's driven us nuts when the Bengals don't do that? And, yeah, I mean, you know, Mike Tomlin is – you know, coaches will tell you all the time, it's not coaching. What makes a good coach is the players, and he's smart enough to know that, look, I'd rather defend myself trying to get the ball to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell than not doing that.
Great
not
point.
Doing that, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, I would think – especially with the way I think Joe Mixon got some confidence last week. Offensive line got some confidence. And you know, A.J. Green is A.J. Green. Now, there's going to have to be a third element, like a third player threat to step up and be a bit of a change-up. But, yeah, man, I mean, the more time they get the ball in those guys' hands, the better.
I would like to see it in cases such as, and tell me if you agree or disagree, and I look, Andy Dalton has been programmed to a certain extent by this coaching staff, don't make mistakes. And he had 5 weeks in a row, he hasn't had an interception. He's thrown 140 straight passes without an interception. That's kind of his MO, just don't make mistakes. But is there a case to be made in getting your best players the ball in a game like this to give A.J. Green a chance to win a 50-50 ball, to put it up there, even if there is tight coverage, to say, A.J., I trust you to go make a play, and if it's not there, become a defender and knock it away. Agree or disagree?
I don't know about you, but I would love to see the Bengals take some chances. What the hell you got to lose, right?
Yes.
The whole world
yes.
thinks you're going to lose anyway. And if you're Andy Dalton, I know it's easy to say this now, but and you throw the ball up to A.J. Green and Hayden jumps out and makes an amazing – okay, great. Tip of the cap to him. But I'd rather see him do that than play really conservative and take all the high-percentage passes, not get the ball downfield. No, man. If I don't mind him trying to push the issue a little bit this week.
No
against
question.
This team. You got to do that. You
yes.
can't play safe.
Yes.
And conservative against this team with this history and that monkey on your back and get a win. No
and,
way.
Rock, it would play perfectly in this game, and the Steelers are susceptible from this standpoint. And where's our guy Woody, Steeler fan Woody? I was discussing this with him before the show. In the last 3 weeks, the Steelers have allowed the following touchdown passes. 39 yards, 54, 55, 75, 60, and 61. Those are the touchdown yardage passes in the last 3 weeks, a secondary that there's Steeler fan Woody over there. They have been susceptible to big plays in the last 3 weeks. It plays to the narrative we were just talking about. Take chances.
And I would hit him with that early and often. First drive or two, I'd put the ball in the air down the sideline and see if they're playing tentative and worrying about that ball getting over their head.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you know what it would also play to, and I'm not going to hold my breath, but there is a certain speed element on this team, Rocky, known for in college stretching the field and big
running
plays
sub 4.340. Is
yeah,
that guy?
What an opportunity! Maybe he's been under wraps, undercover
secret
as a secret weapon. Monday Night
and
Football.
God, that, I mean, what better time? Why not?
John
again, what do you
Ross.
Got to lose? Let's throw it all out there.
Man.
Don't
John
keep any
Ross's
bullets in the gun.
First 100-yard game of his career, and he hauls in two touchdown passes.
Well, they don't have any film on him, so
that's right.
So there you go.
No, what film they do have of him? He fumbled and he ran a bat.
Right. All right. Put our fifth best cover guy on him. Right.
Much more to get to. Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hearing Solutions. Now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing. Alamo Electronics. Electronics your way. Customize your home with Alamo Electronics. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. 6:47, News Radio 700 WLW, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. We thank Yingling for all they do to support the show and for presenting the live webcam at 700 WLW. Wave to the webcam, Rock. on my blog if you want to watch the show as well. Reminder, Market Buffet and Favorite Steak and Pasta will be open Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Check BelterraPark.com for hours. Time to take one final look at last week's Defensive Player of the Game, brought to you by RDI Corporation. Let RDI help you grow and protect your business. We'll go with Carl Lawson. Keeps doing his thing. 1.5 sacks on Sunday. He has 7.5 for the season. He is 2 back of the Bengals' rookie record held by Carlos Dunlap of 9.5. So Carlos Dunlap is 2 sacks back of tying Carlos for the franchise record with 5 games to go for the Bengals' rookie record for sacks in a season. What are you looking at?
I'm just saying, I mean, if he gets over 10 sacks, is he in consideration for rookie of the year?
I think he has to. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, and to think he went so low in the draft is still kind of amazing. All right, Rock, I asked Kevin Minter something Monday night on Bengals Line, and I was fascinated by his answer, and I'd like you to kind of dissect what he says and react as a former linebacker as well. Kevin Minter joined us on Bengals Line, and I asked him what it's like to have Vontaze Burfict as a teammate. After watching him for the last couple of years on tape or watching him on TV, what's it like being on the field with Vontaze Burfict and the impression he has of him as a football player? Here's Kevin Minter.
I'm ready for Pittsburgh. I got to be honest with you. You know, we didn't necessarily play our best game yesterday or whatever, but I feel like this team has gotten better, you know, in all three phases.
Right.
And if we can put it together on Monday, I feel like it would be, you know,
in front of a national crowd, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've played in this just one time, yet you can hear it in your voice and see it on your face. This Bengal Steeler thing means something, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just a different feeling in the locker room. You know, everybody's, I wouldn't necessarily say on edge, but it's just like, you know, it's Steelers week. It's focused, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, you might get an extra rep or something like that on the bench or whatever, or, you know, take a little bit more time and film this week. You know, it's just, it's like the old Bama LSU, you know. Week, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Rock, that was Kevin talking about the significance of the rivalry between the two teams. A little bit later on, maybe we'll have time to play the specific cut on Vontaze. But he said, and what jumped out to me in our conversation, he said, and he paused when he said it, he said, to be honest, he said, the league rules aren't built for a guy like Vontaze Burfict. And he said, I feel bad because he can't pull the trigger now. He has to think about what he's doing before he hits something.
No, it's just what I've always said about Vontaze Burfict is he hit the NFL. His rookie year was 2012, right? That was also the first year when the NFL concussion-related lawsuits, there was like 80-something concussions, 2,000-something players. And maybe even like 2010. 2010 to 2012 was when the NFL really started getting weary and cracking down that sort of thing. So the point is, Vontaze Burfict was all the way through youth football, high school football, and college football, and getting ready to be a rookie in the NFL.
Yep.
And you're asking him, after all those years of playing, to change his style. And I know it sounds easy, but it's not. I mean, think about your broadcasting style, trying to just change that after how many years of doing it.
Absolutely.
You could do it, but it would, I mean, your instincts would keep bringing you back. And I just think that's the deal with Vontaze. Now, look, at the end of the day, this is the reality, though. He has to change. He needs to change. He brings a lot of this on himself, I think, at certain times, too. But, yeah, he's a dinosaur. He's you know, I think if he come in the league 3 years later, I don't think this would be quite as much of an issue because he would have had the years of the youth coaches saying, okay, get the head out of tackle and all that stuff instead of bury your face mask in his ribs like they taught me and, you know, those players of that you know, generation.
Let's stay on the linebacker aspect of this. Last Sunday for the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield had 12 catches. 12 catches out of the backfield for 88 yards. This team, linebacker-wise, they've been targeted the last couple of weeks and throws underneath. Nick Vigil's hobbled now with the ankle. What does it mean to have a threat like a Le'Veon Bell who can do what he does in the patience running the ball, but also the ability to have 12 catches out of the backfield?
Yeah, it's just another element, just another thing you got to think of. And that's always been how I've approached defense is the more things they can do, the more you have to think, the worse it is for a defensive player. You want to get lined up and go. You don't want to, you know, be worrying about this and that. You know, and now when you got a guy that can motion out of the backfield or they can dump a screen off to, it's just – One more thing. And by the way, the guy's like the best running back there is, too. Yes. So it's just like, okay, now we got this to deal with as well.
Before we close the hour and kind of transition into some other things around the NFL of note, one note on Andy Dalton, and Dan Horde tweeted this. Since Bill Lazor has taken over, that's, let's see, that was two games in. So Andy Dalton has played 9 games under Bill Lazor. How about these numbers for Andy? He has completed 64% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 104.1 for Andy Dalton under Bill Lazor.
It's not bad. That's good. You know, we wish he'd been there week one.
You know, and that's the – I mean, and you kind of touched on this earlier in the show, and I hesitate to do it because it's so frustrating, but they should have never lost the opener to the Baltimore Ravens. They should have never lost to the Houston Texans. They should have beaten Green Bay.
Could have beaten Green Bay.
I mean, just
– but even – okay, so they don't win every one of those games, but there's –
If you just win one, you're sitting at 6-5. Right. If you win two, you're sitting at 7-4.
Wow, it's such a fine line. I know.
It's very depressing.
Just impress you now by bringing that up.
Even more so. All right, let's take one last look at Rocky's favorite point each week on our notes, and that is the – Kevin Huber.
This season,
for every Kevin Huber punt down inside the 20-yard line, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. Kevin had 2 punts for an average of 35.5 yards a kick, one of those down inside the 20-yard line. All right, hang tight. We've only scratched the surface. We've got a full hour to go. We're going to get into, oh, man, what's happened with Eli Manning and the Giants. We're going to get into the college football stories with Tennessee and Greg Schiano. Herm Edwards to perhaps Arizona State.
That's wild.
And the college football playoffs. All of that and more in hour number 2. As we roll on, there's plenty of time for you to join us. Have some dinner and hang out. Win some prizes. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park is the place to be. The Furniture Fair Roundtable Show on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.
Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Lycan. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Hour number 2 at 7:07 on News Radio 700 WLW. It is the Roundtable Show each Thursday night from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. By the way, stadium will feature football beer specials each Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. During all Bengals games, stadium will be raffling off everything from coolers to Bengals tickets and jerseys and more. We have enjoyed our dinner tonight. I just saw our guy Woody deliver an outstanding-looking pizza over there. I see wings here at the bar. They got it going on tonight. We're here till 8, and then we'll hand things off back to the studio. Chick Ludwig has sports talk from 8 to 9 o'clock. I'm Lance McAllister. He is Rocky Boyman. Did I just hear, is Woody chanting Steelers
stuff? Yeah, he said go Steelers.
See that guy right over there in the type? Boo him. Boo. 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 Oh, there's multiple Steeler fans over
there. That's right. Eric, they got us cornered over there.
Wait a minute. Maddie better not. Okay. don't touch the Steeler fans. Something might rub off.
Spoiling spoiling the mind of our waitress.
That's right. You know? I know. Before we get into Eli Manning, I sent Big Dave the proper Kevin Minter cut now. I want you to take a listen to specifically, rather than me paraphrasing, Kevin Minter when I ask him what it's like playing the linebacker position with Vontaze Burfict.
One of them old school gritty linebackers. You know, he's like, you know, I feel like the rules aren't made for guys like him anymore. You know, I hate to say it, but you know, because I feel like he's such a great player, and he's actually a pretty good dude. You know, contrary to belief, he brings that intensity to the game, but you know, it's the way he plays is how, you know, guys like us were taught, you know, coming up, you know, when you were playing, you know, it was, he would be just one of many, you know.
Another deal,
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so stuff, the stuff that happens to him is, you know, it's beyond me. But, you know, I feel like he kind of has a target on his back, you know. But he's a great player, greater guy, and I'm glad to be playing with him. I mean, it sucks that, you know, a guy like that has to keep his finger off the trigger. You
know? Right.
You know, it's you know, that's not how he plays. That's not how he came up playing. And I don't know. Some of the, a lot of the stuff he does is just football to me. And it's, but you know, it's the rules of the game now. You know, we gotta follow them. You know, or we won't win. So.
they're not gonna conform to you. You gotta conform to the rules, right?
Yeah. They could care less.
Right.
I mean, it's everything we've said and more. I mean, it does. It stinks to see him, you know. I mean, literally, if he was playing in 2007, not 1970, if he was playing literally 10 years ago, none of this would, hardly any of this would be an issue. I mean, he'd get a couple maybe here and there, but wouldn't it be near the issue it is?
All right, a couple other NFL news and notes from the week, and then we'll segue once we get closer to 7:30 into some college football notes as well. What is to be made out of what the Giants have done? You talk about upheaval and chaos in New York. The decision this week, Ben McAdoo, he's going to be out of a job at the end of the season. But the Giants and Ben McAdoo have determined that Eli Manning's season let me backtrack to how ridiculous this was. They presented him with a proposal. They basically said, we want to get a look at the other quarterbacks on the roster, Geno Smith. And they said, you can start on Sunday and play a half, and then we're going to put Geno Smith in because we want to see more of him. I guess the thought being he has that streak going of, 210 consecutive starts, and they were offering him the lifeline to, well, you can keep the streak alive, but we're going to take you out at halftime. Now, I got to believe the Giants knew full well that Eli Manning was never going to say, oh, that's good. I'll just pad my streak in my for a half, and then I'll – it was a flawed plan to begin with. I just can't believe you treat an icon of your franchise that way ultimately.
This is so tough, you know, and because, I mean, first of all, my initial reaction was, I mean, if they can do that to him, they can do it to anybody, right? Nobody is safe. But now – I agree with you. I think at some point, you know, things greater than just the immediacy of the situation need to be taken into consideration. A guy's been there over a decade, 2 Super Bowls, all that. The other side of me says he's been like the worst rated quarterback in the league for like the last 2 years, lowest completion percentage. And I don't even think it's so much they need to see what Geno Smith has. I think they want to lose games so they can get one of those two quarterbacks. I mean, they you know. Look, you can
they're
say...
They're 2-9 going nowhere.
Right, 2-9 going nowhere. They're competing with the 49ers and the Browns for who's going to get Sam Darnold and Rosen.
Yep.
That's kind of where they're at. I guess it's one of those things. I know I'm supposed to pick a side here. I think ultimately I'm on the side of, look, this guy has been amazing for your franchise, and there should be some sort of level of respect for that. You're not going to win. You're not going to, you know...
Right.
The chances are you're going to lose anyway, so what the hell?
See, And I'm kind of like you. My initial reaction was, oh, come on. And then the more you think about it, you understand ultimately that the Giants, their future does not include Eli Manning. I get that. I thought of this scenario. Tell me if this would have made any sense or how you would have taken it had they done this. What if the Giants had gone to Eli Manning and said, look, dude, you have been our franchise for 12 years, 14, how long has he played? However long he's played. Right. You've won 2 Super Bowls. We respect the heck out of you. But you're not part of our future. Our season is done at 2-9. We ultimately have a third-string quarterback we drafted, Davis Webb, out of Cal, who we want to get a look at. We want to do this. What would you think? We want to, at the end of this season, the final game, we want to hold Eli Manning Day and pay tribute to you that day and honor you that day. But we don't want you as our starting quarterback the rest of the year. We're going to make that announcement. We're going to begin working in Davis Webb, the third stringer. Geno Smith is going to play the first week or two of this till we get some more reps in practice for a Davis Webb, and then he's going to get a look. We don't want this to be ugly, but the reality is our season is done. You're not part of our future. We want to honor you and have your day at Giants Stadium to end the season. Would you be on board with that? What do you think he would say? Does that make any sense?
It does, but I think ultimately he's going to see right through all that stuff and say, so you're taking me out of the game. Just call it what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know what that change. I mean, of course they're going to honor him. His name is going to be up in the stadium. They're going to do all that stuff. He doesn't want to be honored. He wants to play football.
Would you think it would have been better for them to just release him this week?
Now, that's an even better thought. Look, hey, you know, like maybe let's, you know.
But then you don't get the farewell tour for him at the end of the season if you do that. Do you come off even more callous? See that you're and it's funny you said if it can happen to him. My first thought was it happened to Peyton Manning,
that
his brother.
Peyton had some
neck things, but I mean if Peyton can get dumped in a city
by Indy, then anybody can get dumped in a city on the map. No one is safe, and anybody can go down. It's tough. He hasn't been good.
Now he doesn't have Odell Beckham Jr. He doesn't have Brandon Marshall.
He's got an incompetent coach.
He's got an incompetent coach. So you talk about upheaval in that franchise this week. Now I mentioned his brother as a segue into our next thought on this. I was reading Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, and one of the notes he wrote about today was Peyton Manning's next step. And it was the idea of Peyton Manning becoming a general manager, perhaps as soon as next season. And Peter King wrote, why is a GM job right for Peyton Manning? Well, he says, coaching wouldn't quite satisfy the businessman in Manning, and TV wouldn't give him the competition he wants. So GM looks like the sweet spot for what Peyton may do in the future. And he wrote, there are those around the NFL who have watched Peyton Manning who know that Peyton all this while, from playing days to since he's retired, he has kept close tabs on every facet of the game. The draft, free agency, the coaching industry, the scouting community, they say he has watched all those aspects like a hawk, and the next natural progression would be Peyton Manning taking over as a general manager of a football team. Could you see that?
100%, and Jimmy Haslam would be absolutely nuts to not do that. I just looked it up. He's worth $3.7 billion. What's he in his 60s, 70s, something like that?
Owner of the Browns, for those who don't know.
Yeah, owner of the Browns. If I were him, I would offer Peyton Manning 15, 20% ownership of that team. I'm talking crazy stuff. But again, you're already worth so much money. Well, what's another $25, $30, $400 million? What is that to him when you have a chance to really do something? I mean, because it would literally take a Hail Mary to change the course of that franchise, right? Well, you got one. His name's Peyton Manning. He has instant credibility as soon as he walks in there. You know the guy eats, sleeps, and breathes football. We've heard nothing of contrary to that, and I can attest to that. You know he knows the coaches.
Yes.
He knows what the positions take. He knows all that
stuff.
He
is a big picture guy. Nuts and bolts and big picture.
And if you're Peyton Manning, why would you not take that job? I mean, he's a guy that likes a challenge. You talk about the ultimate challenge. Talk about something that could put his name. Look, let's face it. He's not going to beat Tom Brady as the best quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like impact on the game of football, if he could beat Peyton Manning as a player and then come out and rescue the Cleveland Browns from the depths of Hades. I mean, talk about that. That's a resume, right?
It'd be funny.
A perfect marriage.
Peter King's final line in the piece today, Peter King wrote, it'll be interesting to see where this goes with calls coming in, and his old buddy, he's referring to Jimmy. I did not know there's a – I'm not sure what the connection is between Okay, his old buddy, Jimmy Haslam, potentially asking first to come and save the sad sack Browns. It also strikes me that Peyton was in Denver, where John Elway, a former quarterback, has done what he's done in Denver. So Peyton has watched John transition to that phase and oversee and build a Super Bowl champion.
I mean, that would really increase my interest even more in professional football. Just to watch that go down like that, I think that'd be cool.
Because I think Peter King's right. The TV thing, that's not enough for Peyton Manning. I mean, to sit at a desk on a set.
He doesn't want to do that.
And to me, coaching, I mean, why would he want to coach? I wouldn't want to
coach. Coaching is beneath him.
Yeah. Because I've always thought it, and I've said this before, every time I heard Peyton speak in a locker room after a game or during the week, he always spoke as the president, vice
CEO.
President, CEO of a corporation who would run a business. He sounds that way to me, and I think that would be the natural progression.
And again, just his there's few people that see the game the way he does and the ins and outs of it and can comprehend all the different facets of it. There's no better person. I mean, that'd be just phenomenal. Talk about changing the course, the direction of that franchise.
More to get to, 720. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. .723 on News Radio 700 WLW. Let's check the early odds for this week's game, presented by Rising Star Casino and Resort. Play, stay, and get away at Rising Star Casino and Resort in Rising Sun, Indiana. The Bengals are at the Steelers Monday night, 5.5-point favorite. The Ravens are home to the Lions on Sunday as a 3-point favorite for the Ravens. The Browns are at San Diego, and the Browns are a 14-point underdog on the road in the NFL on Sunday. Hey, join us in the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Bengals game day. Stadium is transformed into Bengals Central and the place to be to watch the game. The Bengals game day party features drink specials, DJ Airborne, giveaways, and a chance to win the game day top prize. You were searching online. Do we believe the Jimmy Haslam, Peyton Manning connection may be related to Archie Manning through the years?
Yeah, what I can tell here, yeah, I think that the relationship goes back to Archie and Haslam's dad, so it's thick, in other words.
Yeah, yeah, no question. All right, the Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Yuengling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Thanks to Yuengling for what they do each and every week for the show. Also, Hawksworth Blood Centers, Hawksworth Donors Save Lives. Who will you save? Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing. And Alamo Electronics. Electronics your way. Customize your home with Alamo Electronics. Rock, tell me about it, and I heard you discussing this with Mo earlier this week. Tell me about travel for NFL teams. I think the average person has the nightmare stories of travel, getting to the airport, getting on the plane. It's not like that for a team. Take me through the access, the immediacy of boarding, and take me through what a flight is like going to and coming back. You're laughing. Tell me stories,
it's,
Rock.
It's one of the things I miss about not playing anymore. First of all, just for the travel, there's no, you know, slugging your bags to the airport and going through security and waiting in line and all that. Usually the plane takes off from a certain another section of the airport, right?
Yep.
Like another hangar. And usually there's a parking lot right outside there, and you park your car there, walk in. They have a metal detector set up, but, you know, you just kind of walk right through. And the plane is literally, you know, a couple hundred yards from where you park and all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's nice. It's like it was in the good old days before you had to go through all the security and stuff. So, yeah, then once you're on the plane, as you're getting on the plane, they hand you an envelope of per diem cash, which I usually lost in the first 20 minutes playing cards, which was the other great part about the plane flights.
A lot of
card games.
Yes.
And I always tell, there's always like three different card games. There's like, you know, kind of like the everybody's card game kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's like the, you know, for the Titans, it was the Steve McNair, Eddie George, Shamari roll card game. That was
like invitation only. That was the cool club.
Right. But see, that was the thing, is they would always lure in one stupid rookie every flight, every year. And there's a guy, he got caught up in the game. We saw it happen. I saw it, my whole eyes were like, oh, God, Ryan, don't go over there. Don't do it, man. No, I can't do it. Okay,
no.
Fine. Lost his entire game check.
Oh!
Before the plane landed.
And what game? This wasn't poker. This was...
It's called Bouray. And I don't...
Spell Bouray.
I don't even know.
B-O-O-R-A-Y.
B-O-O-R-A-Y.
Have you heard of Bouray?
It's one of these things where it's like a little bit of chance where you get cards, you got to figure out how many, you know, books you can win, but then you got to drop out. But if you don't win any books, you got to match the pot. It's...
If I Google Bouray, is it going to
appear? I don't know. I don't know.
And
it's
so this,
fun,
so
fun.
So Steve McNair took,
in between
took advantage of the youngster. Well, there you go, Bouray, B O O R A Y.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, Eddie was the one who really, really tried to, like, hey man, why don't you come on in here? Yeah, you know, what they would do is you start off and it's just like a $20 thing game.
Yeah, $20.
Well, they get you in there, and then all of a sudden, the hundreds start coming out, and then before you know it, you're in a world of hurt. You're in a place you don't want to be.
Now, I'm reading from Wikipedia. Bouray is a trick-taking gambling card game played primarily in a region of Louisiana. It is also played in the Greek island. All right, the game's closest relatives are probably spades and euchre. Huh.
It's a fun game. There's not like, I mean, a ton of skill to it, but there's a lot of bluffing involved. Yeah. There's a little bit of gamesmanship. You can talk a lot of trash during it, so it's perfect for a NFL flight.
Originated in France, today popular in Louisiana. The game is best for 7 players. Does that sound familiar? Any number from 2 to 8 like, can play.
Yeah, usually a good game is between like 4 and like 7, because after that, then it's just like too many people.
All right.
Played in between, too. You know, in between is, right? You can lose a lot of money in
between. I don't know what in between is.
You flip 2 cards, and you bet how much money you think the next card they flip is going to be in between the first 2 cards. So say you flip
Holy
a 5
cow.
And a king, you're betting however much money you think that it's not going to be a 4, 3, 2, or ace.
Clearly a bunch of degenerate gamblers
exactly
on the Titan
right.
flights in your days. All right.
There's a Steeler player who's doesn't play anymore.
Give us his initials. Offense or defense?
Defensive player.
Defensive player.
Former linebacker.
Former linebacker.
Went to Florida State.
Florida State.
Come on.
Steeler, linebacker, Florida State.
He went to Florida State, right?
Played in your era?
Yeah, I played with him on the team. Anyway.
Initials. Give me the initials.
He had to write me a very large check for a
combo. Really?
Debt. Yeah.
Wow.
It hurt him a little bit.
Well, like, you know, I learned something about you each week that both that somewhere
he
falls between surprising me and disappointing
it.
Me about you.
Afford it.
It is 7:29. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW. 7:35 on News Radio 700 WLW. Time for another Frisch's Who Am I? Chance for a $25 gift card. We've given these away each day this week. For a limited time, Frisch's has 5 classic combos, $5 each. That's the Buddy Boy, the Swiss Miss, the Brawny Lad, the Quarter Pounder Cheeseburger, and the Spicy Chicken Sandwich. All 5 classic combos include a side of hot, crispy French fries and a 20-ounce drink of your choice only at Frisch's Big Boy. For a limited time, here's this hour's Who Am I? I hold the franchise record for the Bengals for catches in a game with 13. Those came against the Steelers. I hold the franchise record for catches in a game with 13. They happen to come against the Steelers. Who am I? First caller to 749-3700 is going to pick up a $25 gift card from Frisch's. Thanks to Frisch's, each day this week, they've given us a chance to give away the $25 gift card. All right, Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, we roll till 8 tonight, and then Chick Ludwig, stud.
The Chickster.
He's got sports talk tonight from 8 to
all
9
right,
o'clock
Chick.
In the studio. Roundtable show brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. All right, Rock, there are so many things college football-wise to squeeze in. You know, it's so ridiculous. We were actually quizzing each other. Wait a minute, has this guy been fired or is it just rumored he's been fired? Did he actually go here or is that just a rumor at this point? Let's speak of what we know about at this point. Now, some would argue we know very little, but we know this. There was chaos in Knoxville where Greg Schiano was going to be the coach. An understanding had been reached, and then all heck broke loose and now he's not the coach. They don't have a coach yet. What did you make of what transpired with the Twitter revolt against Schiano that caused, I think it's John Curry of the Volunteers
I think it was to bail. It was absolutely shameful. You pay an athletic director, okay, to know the ins and outs of the program, to understand what the program was lacking, what the program needs. You also pay him to have an intimate understanding of who the good names are out there, who are the good coaches. So you're paying that guy a lot of money to do all those things to find not the popular candidate, but the guy who's ready for that spot, the guy you need. And this guy reacted to idiots on Twitter and allowed that to sway his decision. I think it's disgraceful. I don't know how you do that.
And it's amazing. Look, I've tried to break down where the reaction, what point it was coming from, whether it was Penn State related, whether it was they didn't like Schiano and it became convenient to throw
That's
Penn State into the mix. But the whole, I mean, the Penn State thing, look, the reality is he was at Rutgers. He was a coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You think Ohio State would have brought him in if all of this, I don't want to say made up Penn State stuff, but the stuff that was never was attached to him, I mean, it obviously cleared the checking of Urban Meyer, and it cleared the checking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Rutger. I mean, they hired – there wasn't a concern that kept them from hiring. I think it – how much do you think it was fans saying, we can't do better than Greg
That's
Schiano?
That's exactly what it was, because they have delusional expectations.
Yes.
They think that Chip Kelly is going to fall over themselves and can't wait to get that job. They think that Urban Meyer is going to – they want Nick
John
Saban,
Gruden.
John Gruden. Yeah, they want all these different people to take – and it's not a great job. It just is, especially considering the kind of fan base you're going to deal with.
Yes.
And you got no offense, but you got fans, kids running around on campus, spray painting the rock and all this stuff that don't know the first damn thing about what it takes to be a good coach. They just read on Twitter somewhere that Greg Schiano wasn't a good coach, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the Penn State stuff. They didn't like him, so they cooked up this whole connection with that, and that was the reason. And some other big – I mean, there was a Tennessee congressman, the
yep.
Clay Travis guy,
yep.
and it turned into wildfire. But to me, that is a test of true leadership, is when if John Curry was sitting there and said, you know what, I'm taking a bunch of flack, but I know personally that this is the best guy for our job. And I would throw out there that – how can I say this? I think Tennessee has a lot of 4- and 5-star prima donna, really pretty, good-looking football players that aren't exactly tough. And I think Greg Schiano would have brought that. There would have been a new sheriff in town,
mm-hmm.
would institute some toughness, and they need that. And now they're swimming right now.
Another coaching story, Herm Edwards. Now, I have not seen an official report today about this. The last report was it was pending approval of the school president. But it is believed that Herm Edwards, most recently of ESPN, will be the next coach at Arizona State at the age of 63, having not been in the game of football as a coach since 2008, and having not been in the college game since he was the quarterback's coach at Arizona State in 1989. I was wondering, Rock, what the connection was between the athletic director and Herm Edwards. Did you hear this? He was Herm's agent.
Yeah, Ray
at
Anderson
one point.
Was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Ray Anderson was Herm Edwards' agent while he was a coach.
Now, another part of this story, which holy cow, if this is true, that whoever the coach is, he will have to keep the coaching staff that is there. Now, the head coach is gone, but the rest of the coach, as it's being presented, is if you want to be my next coach, you have to keep everybody on this coaching staff. Let's just start with Herm Edwards first. I find it difficult to find anybody who doesn't like Herm Edwards.
No.
Just the way he represents himself on TV seems like an upstanding guy. Seems like somebody – Amy Trask, the former executive for the Raiders, had tweeted yesterday, if you were a parent, you couldn't feel more comfortable than leaving your kid with somebody like Herm Edwards. Here's my question, though. At age 63, having been detached from the game of college football since 1989, this isn't a little podunk school at Division III. This is a Pac-12 school that could be hitching its wagon to Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, that has rich recruiting grounds,
yes.
right? They just built a $60 million facility. I toured the whole thing. It's unbelievable. This is a program that's poised to do some good things in a very winnable division, right?
Yes.
Pac-12.
Yes. This seems like a gigantic leap of faith, doesn't it?
I played for Herm. I love Herm. But, man, that's kind of out of nowhere. Now, I mean, you try to see reasons why. I mean, that guy in a 17-year-old kid's living room is gold.
Right? Absolutely.
He's gonna gas him up, and he's going to tell him every reason why. And I would say recruiting is 90% of the job of being a head coach and getting those players. So from that perspective, it could work, but there's so many things that – Mike Norvell, right, at Memphis is sitting out there. He has connections to Arizona
That's a
State.
Great point.
He was a coordinator out
great
there.
Point.
Young. He's done amazing things. I don't know why you don't look there.
I mean, if I'm an athletic director at a school, a lower level school, and I've had issues, or maybe I've been on probation or losing years, and I'm looking for a spark, looking for somebody to stabilize, I could Herm Edwards. I mean, you could have a parade and announce Herm Edwards, and people go, no, I just can't see at a school, a Pac-12 school like here. I just can't see it.
Yeah.
Having not coached at the college game since 89 and having been out of football altogether for almost 10 years.
I would almost think like a
hate to say, but like an American Conference job would be better. You're just to kind of get back into it. I don't know. It's look, I love Herman. There's a lot of good things about I love playing for him. But that was it's completely out of left field.
All right, when we come back, we got to find a few minutes for the college football playoff because I want to give you an opportunity to anger all the Ohio State
yes,
fans.
Can't wait for that.
And I have a little generator in front of me here, Rock. It's a little newfangled computer thing, and you can punch in.
Is that going out of style?
Who
right?
wins and who loses, and it has percentages of who will make it if that happens. All of that as we head down the stretch. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're hanging out at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700. WLW 747 News Radio 700 WLW the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. 8 o'clock. It's Chick Ludwig after news. Chick will talk with, among a couple of guests, former Bengals offensive line coach, current consultant Jim McNally, and Mark Sheldon of MLB.com. Talks a little Reds baseball as well. That's coming up 8 to 9 with Chick. By the way,
did you say Reds baseball?
Yes. Or,
okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Did I misspeak?
No, you did. I thought you did, but I'm losing my mind.
Congrats to Kevin Youkilis, who was named to the Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame today as well, their class of 2018. Hey, reminder, a couple cool things going on at Market Buffet. Be sure to visit the Market Buffet for the best Sunday brunch from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Sunday nights at Market Buffet, all-you-can-eat specials, or enjoy the specials, and not all-you-can-eat. Oh, they just passed out. Strike that. Not all-you-can-eat, but Market Buffet, enjoy their special of steak, shrimp, and barbecue
for
8 p.m. And Friday nights at Market Buffet, all-you-can-eat crab legs. There you go, the all-you-can-eat crab legs from 4 to 9 p.m. All right, one more note on the Bengals. Review of last week's performance, Kings Honda Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face, every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll go Joe Mixon, 23 carries, 114 yards. He also had 3 catches for 51 yards, including a beauty of a screen, 36 yards on the screen. We'll salute the offensive line. The performance turned in. The Environmental Demolition Group Player of the Week will be the entire offensive line. Environmental Demolition Group, your single-source environmental and specialized demolition service company. Go to edgellc.biz. All right, Rock, college football playoff. The intrigue of this weekend, the excitement of this weekend, the conference championships. And there seems to be the one potential fly in the ointment, the subject of great debate. If we can take the simplest path to get to this debate, if we say the SEC champion is in, that's Georgia or Auburn, the ACC champion is in, Clemson or Miami, and if Oklahoma wins, they're in, that leaves the possibility, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, make the case between Ohio State and Alabama for the fourth spot. You would have a two-loss Ohio State team and a one-loss Bama team, and that seems to be the point that's bringing the greatest debate this week. What if Clemson, Oklahoma, and Auburn are in? What happens if Ohio State beats Wisconsin between the Buckeyes and the Crimson Tide?
I don't know if any of those two get in, Lance. How about that?
Ooh.
I don't, and then Ohio State fans are going to be mad at me, but I don't see Ohio State getting in the playoff either way. Even if they win, even if they
Big Ten champion. Are they going to keep the Big Ten champion out if they beat Wisconsin? An undefeated Wisconsin team?
Well, here's two reasons. First of all, they lost by 31, embarrassed, right?
Yep.
By Iowa. That was a bad loss. Iowa lost a couple weeks later to Purdue. The second thing working against them is last year the committee put them in the playoff without having won the Big Ten championship, right? They took a gamble on them and said, look, they're Ohio State. They'll go in there like they did back in 2014. They'll roll and it'll be fantastic. And what happened? They got crushed, blanked by Clemson. So I just don't know, considering everything that's happened, I don't think the committee wants to look foolish 2 years in a row. So
and keep in mind, and as you're adding that resume up for Ohio State, they lost at home. They lost at home to Oklahoma. Now, that's not a
was maybe the second best
exactly.
team in the country.
Now, they lost by 15 at home. So can you really are they really going to take, if they, assuming they beat Wisconsin, they would be the Big Ten champ. They would have wins over Penn State, Michigan State, Wisconsin. But can you really take a two-loss team that lost by 15 at home and lost by 31 at Iowa? Now, the argument, you know this, Rock, the argument for Alabama against Alabama will be, well, wait a minute, Alabama's not even playing on Saturday. They don't play in the conference championship.
They're at a conference win.
And that's Florida State. Debate of Florida State, because it's not their fault that Florida State's quarterback got hurt. But
They have five wins.
It's still it was a bad Florida State team.
Right.
Bama has beaten LSU 17 in the rankings. They beat Mississippi State 23. That's about it. My argument for Alabama would be, well, no, wait a minute. Alabama was number one all season long. They went to Auburn and lost to Auburn, who's really good. How can you penalize Alabama?
I think they have a better chance. I think Alabama has a better chance of getting in than Ohio State. I also believe that you could make an I could make an argument that Clemson, Miami, both those teams get in.
So the loser would go either one of them. So right. All right. Ooh.
Loser would go either one.
So you're talking Clemson, then you're for Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, Auburn.
Right.
Ooh.
Same potential for that. Now,
well, that I can't plug into my little formula here
well,
because
how good your little
this little formula
there,
has somebody losing between Clemson and Alabama. So you've screwed up this little formula thing. It's a simulator generator thing. And
see what that one said.
I can't plug it in now.
Miami's, well, they've beaten. I don't know.
If Miami wins and, if Miami, and can't do that. And yep,
if Clemson
says Rocky screwed it up.
If Clemson blows the doors off of Miami, then no. But if Miami
what
beats,
if Ohio State like last
Clemson,
year, what if Ohio State blows the doors off Wisconsin?
No, they go back. You can't ignore that loss to Iowa.
Send all your tweets at Rocky Boyman 50.
That's right. Bring the snark.
All right, let's get to the really important stuff because we are clearly – in elite company. We are the high rollers of college football people because we both, for the second consecutive year, give me a high five, we are Heisman Trophy voters.
How about that?
Part of the select group. There are approximately, I think I saw 980 voters in the entire country, 870. And there are 58 winners of the Heisman living who get a vote as well. That's pretty select company.
That's good company.
We get for the second straight year to vote for the Heisman. I take that as a great honor. I think that's very cool that that we are entrusted with vote. Yet we have to vote by Monday.
Right.
That is the deadline. We are not allowed to publicly discuss who we have voted for. That would violate the terms of the agreement. Am I allowed to say no?
What?
Am I allowed to say you?
I've already voted.
Okay, you said that. You'll get in trouble. You won't get in trouble, but you've already voted. I have not voted.
Right.
But I'm not going to ask you who you voted for because they take away our ballots.
And I wouldn't ask you because, like you, I take that honor very seriously and just for the reason of it wouldn't be right.
What I found interesting today was the Johnny Unitas Award, top quarterback, did not go to Baker Mayfield. It went to Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma State. And as I pointed out to you, I looked at the criteria for the Johnny Unitas Award. It is not only for performance, but it is for character, citizenship, leadership, and scholastic, the academics of it, which clearly brought into the equation Baker Mayfield's off-field and on-field antics, and perhaps...
What did he do? He grabbed his crotch. I do that 10 times a day.
He did pick up a public intoxication charge and running from the police before the season. He did plant his flag, but he did not win the Johnny Unitas.
Let me just say, in terms of the Heisman, I think if it were neck and neck with anybody,
I would agree with you on that. That it would be the difference maker, perhaps.
Right, but I'm not saying that's who I'm voting for.
Yes,
but I'm saying
you're just saying you're not saying you're just saying.
Right.
We got to get out of here. This was fun. Let's do it next week. Then we can talk about who we voted for without having our ballots revoked. Chick Ludwig is next after news. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.